British Spy Stories. Hi, this is MF Kelleher. Next week is the final episode of Season 2 of British Spy Stories. At the end of next week's episode, there's a preview of Season 3, Official Denial. When Gabby is sent on an undercover operation to kill Europe's largest arms dealer and find a British spy who's disappeared, she discovers that the two men are connected and part of a gang stealing Western weapons. She soon realizes that her only option is to mount an audacious and risky attack on the gang's hideout. But as the pressure increases, and a leak from the British Embassy in Budapest puts her life in danger, time is running out for Gabby to finish what she came to do and try to get out alive. Season 3 starts in 2 weeks' time on British Spy Stories. Thanks for listening. I'll see you soon. British Spy Stories. Season 2. The Kill Order. Episode 28. The last place that Ella would have chosen to be is here, back in her flat. Each time that she walks into the sitting room, she can see Stefan's dead eyes staring out across the air. Marjorie hadn't sounded surprised when Ella had got in touch with her on her way back to London. Sir Bernard had handed Ella a whole narrative that Comms Branch had constructed to tell Marjorie. The essence of the cover story is based on a core fiction that Ella is a soft touch and therefore ripe as a source for intelligence. Ella had told the woman that she wants a better working relationship between MI5 and MI6, and that she's happy to help Marjorie get the information she needs. Within 2 hours, Marjorie had sent a message back outlining the data and contact details that MI5 supposedly needed on a current live op. Ella had suggested that Marjorie call round to her flat in Wimbledon tonight and pick up the physical paper files so they could maintain the security of the handover and avoid any electronic traces being left for others to find in the future. The clock in the kitchen shows past 9 o'clock before Ella sees the lights of a car turn the corner from the main road and slowly drift down her street. The vehicle stops by the curbside opposite, under the streetlight. The door opens and Marjorie steps out. She has a large black coat on and a scarf wrapped several times around her neck. She carefully locks the door of the vehicle and walks across the road and up to Ella's doorway. When the bell rings and Ella walks to open the front door, her mind flashes to the memory of the policeman who had called on her as Stefan's body lay in her sitting room. But this time she knows who is on the other side of the door, and she knows what she has to do.
"Hello, Ella. Come in."
Marjorie walks to the sitting room and sits on the very edge of the chair. She unbuttons her coat, revealing a grey suit.
"Tea, please."
Ella makes tea and returns with two mugs.
"I'm so glad that we're working together," says Marjorie. "I do like you. As I said, you remind me of myself, back when I started. What made you change your mind, Ella? You seemed reluctant before." "I had a lovely break in Yorkshire. Time to think."
Out of the corner of her eye, Marjorie is sure she sees a shadow move past the front window. But maybe it's her imagination.
"It makes the job so much easier when you work with people you get along with." "I'm looking forward to it."
A tiny sound comes through from the kitchen. A single click.
"I have to say I was getting a bit bored with just doing analysis about one European country or another."
Suddenly Ella's cat runs through from the back of the house into the sitting room.
"What's got into you, silly?"
she says.
"She's sensitive to people being around. Sorry."
Marjorie smiles, insincerely.
"Let me go through this data you wanted," says Ella. She picks up the folders from the table and sits down next to Marjorie. She opens the first one and starts to explain what's in the file and how it's organized. The faintest sound of a footstep on the wooden floor in the hallway is lost beneath Ella's chatter.
This section is all about the people you mentioned.
She points to the papers and looks at Marjorie, but the woman isn't looking down. Her eyes are locked on the doorway to the room. A man appears from the hallway.
No, you can't. You agreed,
shouts Marjorie. Ella never hears the end of the sentence. Her body slumps back against the sofa. A single entry wound, directly in the centre of her forehead. The Belarusian dawn. Red and orange clouds are scattered across a pale sky, above the gently swaying treetops of the Belarusian forest. Gabby leans against the side of the main doors to the house and looks out at the scene in front of her. She is wearing standard British Army camouflage top and trousers. An assault rifle is slung over her shoulder, and her Smith & Wesson is stuffed into her belt in the small of her back. The comms in her ear crackles into life.
Gabby, says Panama. I've just passed what looks like Babu's men in three SUVs coming to you.
How many men?
It must be 12 in three vehicles.
Okay. Get here ASAP.
The comms cuts and the quietness rolls back in around the house. After a few minutes, Hans steps outside and stands next to her.
Laravel's queuing up, he says.
And she nods in acknowledgement.
How are you feeling, Gordon?
Excited. I must have asked you 1,000 times for field ops work.
That'll teach you.
It's Panama, he says.
The sound of a car breaks through from the end of the driveway. It bursts out of the trees and comes to them at speed. The Mercedes skids on the gravel and stops. Panama gets out, and Hans gives him a light machine gun.
Get in position, you two,
she says to the men, and they walk off into the woods, either side of the house. Over comms, Laravel says,
Where do you want me, Gab? Attic at the front. There's a lookout post we've been using. Set up there,
she says.
And Jenny, you have authority to shoot to kill. Anything that comes up that driveway. I'm on it, Mum.
After 10 minutes, Gabby talks into the comms.
Go and recce the road outside, would you, Hans?
Mum.
She can see him emerge from his position in the undergrowth and walk off towards the boundary wall. It's 10 minutes before Gabby sees him running back up the driveway. His voice comes on the headsets.
Enemy in the theatre, Mum.
Hans, Panama, to positions Beta and Gamma in the woods, she says. Laravel, status? All set, Mum.
One of the SUVs from Babu's convoy suddenly breaks out of the shade beneath the branches and drives at speed towards the house. The windows are blacked out, but Gabby can see the driver and one other in the front seat.
Locked on, Mum. Go ahead.
The windscreen shatters as the first of Laravel's bullets arrives. The car swerves wildly and hits a tree on the left-hand side of the roadway. The passenger door opens, and a man in a balaclava positions himself behind the vehicle. He takes shots at the upper windows of the house where Laravel is. Then he shoots at the front door, where Gabby had been standing, a few seconds before. From Hans's position in the trees, he opens fire. The man turns and shoots back, then retreats back down the driveway, leaving the car and the driver. Hans raises his handgun and moves towards the SUV. The side door is open, and he can see inside.
One end down, Mom,
he says, as he looks into the car where the man is bolt upright against the seat, his dead eyes still open.
and a red stain across his chest.
Regroup,
says Gabby. Hans retraces his steps to position Beta.
I've got enemy movement in the trees, Mum,
says Panama.
How many?
Two, maybe three.
Wait until you have a clear shot, Panama.
Mum.
The comms go silent for 10 seconds.
Sit rep,
says Gabby. Panama doesn't answer, then they all hear the sound of his assault rifle.
One hit, Mum. They're retreating.
Hans, check your side of the woods for enemy advance.
Laravel's voice comes on.
I have movement at the bottom of the driveway.
What are they doing?
Nothing yet. Grouping.
Everyone waits.
Two confirmed, Mum. One each side of the drive. On foot.
I have enemy in the woods. Peter's side, says Hans.
And me, Gamma's side,
says Panama. Shots ring out from Laravel's rifle, and small arms fire from either side of the house. Gabby watches the men move up the driveway.
Sustaining fire.
They're coming up the harder this time.
Gabby walks over to the table where Hans had left the control switch for the driveway munitions. She picks up the device and carries it to the front window of the hallway and looks out.
Sit rep on your two in the driveway.
Laravel.
No hits, Mum. They're still advancing. There are two more on foot behind them, 50 metres.
Gabby looks down the driveway.
Alpha to all, I'm detonating munitions,
she says into the headset.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Along the length of the road, leading to the house, multiple orange flashes roar up from the ground, accompanied by the sound of ear-splitting explosions.
Two end down on the driveway, Mum.
Gunfire still persists from Hans's side of the house. Then he says,
Retreating, Mum, back to the house.
I'm coming to your side, Hans,
says Gabby. She runs through the house, then down to Beta location in the woods. She can hear shots ringing out from directly in front of her, and she pushes on into the undergrowth, holding her rifle. Gabby reaches a clearing and can see Hans behind two trees to her left. As she gets there, a bullet hits the trunk next to her, and she goes to ground. Gabby can see the enemy positions, and she opens fire in short bursts to gain their attention. One man steps out of cover and fires back at her. She immediately pulls the trigger, and he keels over.
Back to me, Hans,
she shouts down comms. Hans runs back through the trees and drops to ground next to her.
Where are the other two?
She says, and he indicates with his hand.
Pincer,
she says, and points to the left, while she goes right. They crash through the woodland, firing constantly. The men from Babu's gang, under sustained fire, fall back deeper into the undergrowth and away from the house.
Return to base,
she barks, and can see Hans 20 yards away from her, running in parallel.
Sit rep, Panama,
says Gabby, and runs out of the woods and heads for the house.
Panama, Panama,
she repeats. The comms are silent.
Panama.
Gabby looks at Hans with wide pupils.
Sit rep, Panama,
she says.
Shit. Hans, back to Beta.
Gabby runs into the trees to find Panama. She keeps low and reaches location Gamma, but there's no sign of him. She can see where the undergrowth has been trampled and follows a rough path through the bracken. There is no sound of movement. Momentarily, the gunfire has ceased. She finds cover and waits for sounds to reach her, listening out for anything that might give away someone's position. The seconds tick by. No movement comes from the greenery. Then she sees something.
She rises off her haunches and moves at pace to where she saw the movement. She can see green camouflage. Then she sees it's Panama on the ground. His eyes are closed.
Vita,
she says, close into him. She feels for a pulse, and he's alive. Gabby pulls out a water bottle from her belt and pours water onto his face. Panama coughs and opens his eyes.
Thigh,
is all he says.
Bad? Fucking painful,
he whispers.
Can you walk?
He nods. She takes his arm over her shoulder, and they struggle back through the trees. She lays him down in the hallway. Then Gabby makes her way back out to cover Panama's side of the woods. The battle is quiet for 10 minutes after that. Gabby eventually walks back to the house to check Panama and asks for sit reps from Hans and Laravel. But they can't see any movement. Then, suddenly, Laravel's voice comes over comms.
Ma'am, they've got a cryocanter tank grenade.
Do we have a defence strategy for that?
Says Hans in their earpieces.
Yes. Laravel killing the fucker who's got it. Locked on, ma'am.
A shot rings out from the second floor. Then...
No hit.
Comes through comms. Followed by...
Reloading.
Before Laravel can reload, she adds...
They've fired it, ma'am. It's coming for the house.